Reinhold Niebuhr wrote in the 20th century a book called Leaves from the Notebook of a Tamed Cynic. I encourage you to Google him. Great writer, profound and pithy writing. He said, people need to be lured into righteousness. I know that's true for me. I suspect it's true for most of us. Because my experience is, in conversations I've witnessed or been a part of about religion or politics, very few people are coaxed, lured into righteousness by arguing with them. It's not going to work very well to argue people into a point of view. As somebody said after the first service, that's not just in the general public. It works in relationships that way, too. It certainly didn't work out well for John the Baptist, who was arrested by Herod because John was doing exactly that, arguing with Herod about religion and politics. John tried to convince King Herod that he should repent, and that God did not approve of King Herod's immoral lifestyle. King Herod didn't appreciate the advice, and so he put John in jail, ending John's career, and apparently, from today's lesson, starting Jesus' career. We don't get many details here, but there are some in other places. It's just clear that John's arrest had something to do with the beginning of Jesus' ministry. From Jesus being with John at the River Jordan to moving to Galilee, Capernaum. The word that's used is that Jesus withdrew. It has the connotation of Jesus fleeing there to get away from the situation that John found himself in. So Jesus went to Galilee. But while John was arrested, and it seems Jesus escaped that fate for the time being, he didn't get away from the Roman Empire. They were everywhere. And Jesus really isn't trying to get away from Rome. We have a lot of information from outside the Bible about what life was like in the Roman Empire in the first century. They called it the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. But it was only peaceful if you were a Roman, or at least you did whatever the Romans told you to do. And a lot of that had to do with paying taxes and supporting the Roman army. Jesus' first disciples were fishermen. But we shouldn't imagine that they were entrepreneurs who were running their own family business and could decide when and where to go to work. History is very clear that every boat that went into the Sea of Galilee and every fish that came out of it was taxed. And it takes a lot of fish and a lot of money to keep an army fed and equipped. It's easy to understand why the people Rome occupied, the lands they occupied, that the people there hated them. And it wouldn't take long for Jesus and his followers to get in trouble when they started feeding thousands of people what would have been considered illegal fish and bread. After all, no one paid sales tax on that lunch that Jesus used to feed the thousands. It may seem a stretch to us to see Jesus as a political figure, but certainly Herod and Caesar, Pontius Pilate, the authorities, saw Jesus and John as political figures and threats. So what's different about Jesus from all the other insurrectionists of his day? He's not some run-of-the-mill, rabble-rousing insurrectionist that Rome took care of on a daily basis. History is full of accounts of how they did that. Jesus wasn't that kind of grassroots leader, because Jesus didn't try to get the people to rebel against Rome. Didn't try to incite war against Caesar. Unless you count loving your enemy as some kind of strange warfare. I think for us it's tempting to try to use all the resources at our disposal to control our future, to control all the things and people that threaten us or our way of life. And Jesus envisioned a different way of using resources. What made Jesus so dangerous was, and is, that he encouraged people to do something very different from using our resources to control other people. He encouraged us to stop seeing others as threats and strangers, and instead to invite them into a different school of thought, if you will. That we are all of us, not just the ones who agree with us, all of us, are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Today, again, Jesus invites his first disciples and us to join him in fishing for people. And by the way, the school of fish is an apt metaphor there too. We're safer when we're together, and especially when we're together with Jesus. Jesus invites us to join his school, to learn from him how to care for ourselves appropriately and to care for others in our world, to experience the kingdom of heaven as the welcoming place and the people we are intended to be. I think it's pretty clear that it's hard to control people who aren't afraid of you. Countless teachers try. The genius of Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. and also of Jesus is they encourage people to cooperate not out of fear, but out of caring and love. Those folks knocking on the doors and trying to convince people about hell, well, it turns out Jesus knocked on a fair number of doors, too, but not with warnings about the dire consequences of your future, of your present behavior in the future, but with invitations to be in relationship with each other and with our God, not by threats, but by promises. He essentially said, "Come to me, come on in. The water's fine. Thanks be to God."